I want to tell you about a vision I had this morning. Most of the brethren have already told it to them. And I want to mention it. The Lord is doing something among us. This morning I was laying on my bed and I had a vision. And I was on a landing up about six floors, I guess it was. And I looked and there was a flight of white marble steps coming all the way up to this landing. And so far as I could tell, it was the very top landing. I didn't see any steps that would go any higher. And during this time, there was a man come to me. I'll just kind of omit a little bit here. There was a man that come to me that was, I don't know, he must have weighed a couple of hundred pounds and 195 pounds, 200 pounds, about 40 years old or a little better. Bald-headed in the front. And he come up to me this morning in a vision, and he had a Bible, about like that Bible over there under his arm. And he come up to me, and as he come up, I knew he was going to talk about religion, so I purposed in my heart that I wouldn't answer him unless he could go to the Word with it. Because I had kind of a strange feeling about him. I didn't know whether he was an angel or what he was. I knew he was a stranger. I knew I didn't know him. So I watched him as he come over, and he seemed to be a pleasant fellow. He wasn't a jolly man. And he wasn't a solemn man, but he was just kind of the average individual. And he seemed to be a pleasant sort of a man. And he come over to talk with me, and as he began to talk with me, I looked at him, and I can't remember anything he said except just one or two little things here. One of them was, he said to me, he said, this Bible, speaking of the Bible he had under his arm, he said, I've read this Bible through 40 times. This is what the man said to him in the vision. I've read this Bible through 40 times. Well, just immediately, I began to say to him, no, that's not true. You've never read that Bible through 40 times, because I can look at the white of your eye and tell that you've never read it 40 times, because I know what it does to a man's eyes to read the Bible. And about the time I said it, I felt kind of checked that in my heart, and I said, as I felt kind of checked, I looked at him and I said, no, I shouldn't have said that. You're a stranger and so forth, and that was the essence of it, and I said, I shouldn't have said that, because I don't know, maybe you did read the Bible through 40 times. It's possible that maybe you did. And about that time, he looked like he wanted to convince me, Brother Taylor, that he actually was a Bible scholar. So he turned around, and as he turned around, there was a wall about, well, somewhere about the distance of that wall, a little farther. And he started walking off from me, and when he started walking off from me, he translated before my eyes. I saw him as he faded away and translated and walked right through the wall. And then, of course, I looked, and it was like a vision over there, and I saw several other people. It was off in the distance. One of them kind of came forward, got pretty close to view to where I could almost make out who he was. He kind of resembled Brother Baldwin, and then he just went back into the spiritual realm or whatever it was. I've got some ideas of what it could be, and we've discussed it today. But last night we was talking about the translation and walking through the wall, and then this morning I saw the vision of the man that was translated and walked through the wall. Now tonight we're going to talk, if the Lord will help me to get into the mind of Christ, we're going to talk about the mind of the Lord and talk about the spiritual things of God and see if we can drift off into that mind and in that stream to where we can help you to see that there is a translation that's taking place. Let's drop back over here now. You remember again how that we broke this down into three parts over here? This is the first dimensional step of our three-dimensional teachings. And we broke this map of the Holy Land down into three parts. We dissected it into three parts. And then we started up here. We drawed here on the board, Brother Taylor did for me. He drawed a circle. And then we started a journey from out of Canaan land through Egypt and down through the wilderness and back to Canaan land to show the journey of the pilgrims. We broke it down in 2,000 years between from Adam to Noah, 2,000 years down to Jesus, and 2,000 years on down to the coming of the Lord over here, ending the 6,000 years. And then we allotted 2,000 to the world of vegetation, which was the water world, the great deluge, a flood in the days of Noah. We allotted 2,000 years to Jesus, which was the beast world of blood. And we allotted 2,000 years to the William Branham
or the angelic world, which was the Protestant age. This was the agricultural realm. This over here in the middle was the political realm. And this one over here was the religious realm. And we named the fathers, which was Abraham, the father of the Jew, Peter, which was the father of the Catholic, George Washington, which was the father of the Protestants, right over here. And then we came on over to try to keep from confusing him. And we broke it down into 4,000 years here from the time of Adam down to Christ and allotted it to the Jew. Broke it down into 2,000 years from the time of Christ over to the coming of the millennium and put allotted it to the Gentiles. And we broke it down in 1,000 years over to the great white throne of judgment and allotted it to the church or the elect of God. And then we drop back after that to kind of give you some review of it here. And we broke it down again here, and we put our body, soul, and spirit realm into it by putting Noah over here and Christ here and Columbus here, and then put Moses right here and put, what was his name over here? Put Moses over here and Martin Luther over here. Alright, then right here we connected it together right here to show that the law that Moses got on Mount Sinai, they broke it. And then the next covenant that was given to mankind was denoted by Martin Luther over here, which was faith, and they kept that covenant. Now then, we tried to break it down just as much as we could to where you could understand it. As Brother Taylor got marked down here, we put the garden as the mind of God. So then, here is the Old Testament right here. You see it? Right here was the journey of the pilgrims. This is the Mediterranean area. I pointed out Mount Sinai, how that the Holy Land is right over yonder across the sea. Many of you know about it. Some of you has been over there. And that Holy Land over there where Jesus' tomb is at, it's over there right now. I say this to get your mind, Brother Ernie, to let you know that there's a real, genuine land somewhere where a man died by the name of Jesus. That it's not a fairy tale. The grave, the sepulchre, the sepulchre is still with us right now. It's still here. And the Mount of Calvary, where they nailed him to the cross, it's still here. The land of Palestine, the same place where Jesus walked the shores, just like I'm walking in here tonight, just like a man, Brother Beecher, just like you, walking along the sandy shores of Galilee, getting into a little boat and pushing himself out from the shore there and sitting down like I did in the control room today and talking with his disciples, just sitting down, Brother Taylor, in a chair, or sitting down out in a little boat and telling them about the revelation of Jesus Christ. I know that we've got the idea you have to jump and holler and shake your hands and you have to kick your heel up and say hallelujah, glory to God, and all that's good. If you want to do it, that's fine. Children love to play and I love to see them play. If they didn't, they'd be perverted if they didn't act like children. But Jesus didn't do that. Yes, take him up. I'll push out from the land there, and he sat in a little boat, and he'd say, I blessed are the meek in spirit, for theirs is this, and blessed are these, and blessed are they, and maybe we'd get up on a mountain, Brother Taylor, somewhere, and he'd just talk to the people and do what he could to enlighten their minds. He was a teacher. The Bible said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher sent from God. And he was a teacher, and he taught them. He taught these things, and then in Matthew 28, he told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them. I heard a fella not too long ago, Dad was present when he said it, said that the Lord don't want women teaching, but it's all right for them to preach. Matthew 28, Brother John said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, teaching them. That's what preaching is. Real, genuine preaching is teaching. I know that they've made a show of it, and people feel that they've got to jump up and down and all them kind of things, but you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. All you got to do is just tell them what Jesus says. That's all that's important, is to tell them what Jesus says. All right, now then, notice over here, this is the Holy Land where this man, Jesus Christ, walked the earth. I'm trying to get your minds together now on something natural to where I can take it into the mind of Christ. This is a natural land. You don't have to get in the mind of Christ to see that. Anybody can see that. That's a natural land just like that dirt out there. Palestine over there, some of you have even been into the Mediterranean area. And here, I believe you've been into it, Brother John, is that right? Here in just a natural, plain, common land, just like I was over here, but there was a man by the name of Moses. There was a man by the name of Joshua. There was a man by the name of Jesus. There was a man by the name of Elijah, and a man by the name of Elisha, and a man by the name of Caleb, and on and on and on, many, many men like Peter and James and John and Paul and Andrew and all those great and mighty men right over here. Right along in here is where John the Revelator, when they put him off on the Isle of Patmos, one of these little islands over here, put him out there and without any food, without any sense of understanding of any spiritual thing except what Christ had indoctrinated with him, or within him, he was out there exiled on a little bitty island and turned his heart toward God, and out of yonder's world came the holy revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So who was it? He was a man, just like I'm a man. He was a man. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, it ain't the same today. Oh, yes, it is today. It's just the same today as it was yesterday. Jesus Christ, the same Brother Gonzalez, yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same Jesus Christ. He rebukes. He reproves. He exhorts. And he does all of these things. He's the same Jesus. And I believe this with all of my heart. I've watched as of late, and I've seen people that didn't want to straighten up their crooked lies, and they've done everything they could to get around my rebuking and my reproving and my exhorting, but they wanted to run in at the last minute and get the revelation. I saw this happen right here at this church. But when they run in here, what did they do? They met the rebukes. They met the reproofs. They met the same George Pike that they met 10 years ago or 6 years ago when I came in here anointed of God to preach the gospel and preach against the evil, crooked ways of humanity. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people of their sins in the house of Jacob, their transgressions. He said, they delight to know me. They come and take delight in approaching unto me and say, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou takest no knowledge in all these things. And they act like a people that done righteousness, the Bible said. But you've seen the Lord set their fields on fire. Some of them has come in here, Brother Ernie. In the last few months, it's come right in here, and God has set their fields on fire, and they had to get out. They had to leave. There's no way to slip in. If you got into this revelation supper right here, if you ain't got on the garments of the righteousness of the saints, you'd give 10 million worlds if you'd never come into this. You better run. You better get out. You better run for your life. If you don't want to straighten up your path, you better run for your life. That's right. Because when you get into this, if you ever get into this supper, how many of you know what this is? This is the spiritual realm of Almighty God. When you cross over that boundaries of worlds and you get out there in that spiritual realm, if you're not honest and sincere and upright and clean, you'd give 10 million worlds if you'd never got out there in that spiritual realm. Because how many of you know out there in that realm there's devils, there's evil spirits, there's all kind of things, brother, being out there in that realm. You can't play in that realm that you can play in this realm. This is the children's realm. But you get out there in the spiritual world and you don't play out there. You better be sure when you lunge off it, just like them astronauts down there, when they set that thing and they get ready to launch, they make sure that they've got that thing aimed just perfectly. They tried day and night, Brother John, to have that thing aimed just perfectly. If they miss just one little time, that's all they got to do. And the whole expedition is ruined and somebody loses their life. And I'm going to tell you something. When you make this launching, you better be sure your gold is just right. Because if you miss out on this, you're going to lose your soul. You're not going to lose your health. You're not going to lose your blessing. You're going to lose your soul. This is the last go-round. And so then you be sure that you be honest and upright with God. You be sure, just cause I'm teaching don't mean there ain't no more reproof. I'm just teaching and trying to do what little I can here because you've gotten into a mind to receive it. It took us a long time to ever even get this far along. Is that right? It took us a long time, so let's hold it while we're here. Alright? Now I have to do like the army does, you know. If one of you get out of line, I have to punish all of you according to, that's the rule. That's the army rule. I can't pick one of you out. If I did, I'd kill you. I picked you out and just shot and opened both barrels at you, it'd just kill you. So I'm just telling you what I mean. Ain't nobody going to get mad if they're right with God anyway that out there. So then here we see this natural world right here. This natural world. And I thank the Lord that there was a natural man. I tell you what, I appreciate Brother Taylor sitting on my platform. But I don't even want nobody sitting on my platform if their spirit ain't with me. Brother Branham told them to get off his platform. They couldn't get their spirit with him. He didn't want them on the platform. He hindered the work of the Lord. Jesus told them to leave the room. He didn't even want them in the room with him. It's called for the men that was in harmony with him. If any two of you agree, You got to get a spiritual agreement somewhere down the line. You say, Brother Pike, how can I agree with your spirit and acting like it is? I don't know. That's up to you. I have to figure that out. But anyway, right over here, here's the natural aspect of it. Right here, Mount Sinai, Transjordan, Palestine, and this is the natural world to where the Lord Jesus walked the earth and the great things of God took place. The Lord Jesus opened the eyes of the blind in Palestine. And in this country, He healed the deaf ears. He made the lame to walk. He raised the dead. He spoke words of revelation that nobody didn't understand. They couldn't even receive His sayings. It was so deep, they couldn't even understand them. And even until this very day in the Bible, the greatest book on earth, there's people that can't understand that Bible to save their life. There's things in there that you can read after you've served God for 10 years and can't understand it to save your life. The Holy Spirit has to revelate it to you. The Bible said they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They studied it in seminary. They've taken it apart. They've split hairs over it. They've done everything they know to do, and they still ain't got the revelation of it. Why? Because the Bible said God has hid these things. Who is it hid from? If it be hid to you, it'd be hid to them that are lost. It'd be hid to them that are lost. If you can't get it, it's hid to them that are lost. I want to drop this in tonight. If you can't get revelation, you're lost. I want you women to hear this. I want you daughters and sons to hear this. I want you men. If you can't get revelation, you're lost. You're lost. Somebody said, well, I don't believe I'm lost, Brother Pike. It don't make any difference what you believe about it. If you can't get revelation, you're lost. You've never got into the mind of God. You remember that. You can shout and jump and holler, speak in tongues and do what you want to. But if you can't get into spiritual revelation, you're lost. Because spiritual revelation is the mind of God. And Paul stated very plainly over here, I was taken away into the desert for a period of about 3 years, he said, and the revelation was made known to me. John on the Isle of Patmos said, God made known unto me the revelation. And I made the statement here recently that some men are so concerned about their ministries until they've just forgotten about the revelation of Jesus Christ. They don't care nothing about it. All they're concerned about is their ministry. But I'm concerned about the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to take us to heaven. That's the only thing that can save us. That's the only thing that can translate us and take us out of this world. That's the only thing that can make us walk through the wall, just like that man walked through the wall in the vision this morning. Ain't nothing else can do it. So then, I don't say that you have to have as much revelation as Brother Tom's got. I don't say that Tom has to have as much as John's got. I don't say John has to have as much as Brother Gonzalez has got. But I say one thing, you've got to be able to get into the realm of revelation if you ever get changed. Now, an eagle is an eagle. He might be a baby eagle, Brother Taylor, but he's still an eagle. If he can't do nothing but open his mouth for you to drop something in it, he's still an eagle, even a little baby eagle. But the thing is, you've got to be an eagle. You've got to be able to get into that rim up there. And if you ain't, then that means you're a chicken. You ever heard in this world they call you chicken? Well, that's what you are. You can't do nothing but flap your wings and jump up and down, and you can't go nowhere. But I'll tell you what, eagle, baby eagle, or whatever it is, you give enough time, and after a while, he'll take off. So then we see this natural world right over here. Now that I feel a sweet spirit coming in, a lot of change here. It's a whole lot different changing. It still isn't right, but it's a whole lot better than it was. Now remember, God is a spirit. Remember now, God is a spirit. What kind of spirit is he? He's a Holy Spirit. He's a dove spirit. He's a righteous spirit. How many of you know that as long as David was out there and had to lift up the sword, that God couldn't build the house of God? He couldn't do it, Brother Ben, because David was always having to rebuke and reprove and cut. Well, that sword always cut, and the Bible said, cursed is the man that holdeth back his sword from blood. Don't spare the women, he said. Don't spare the children. Don't spare the man. Kill the whole family, he said. Is that right? Kill the whole family. Don't spare the sword. David could not spare the sword. He was a man of war. He couldn't build the house of the Lord. But when Solomon came along and everything got peaceful, then the Spirit of God, which is so timid, so precious, and so gentle, began to hover down over the building. And the Bible said he built the house of God. As long as we come in here crossed up, we're not going to get a mighty rushing wind, I'll tell you that. They come in there in one mind. They were in one accord. They come in there in love and in humility. They swallowed down their pride and swallowed down their feelings. In the days of Solomon, it was peaceful to where the Holy Spirit could just come down. The mind of God is a dove mind. It don't stand for confusion. It don't want any emotion out of order. He said, be still and know that I'm God. That's the reason in the Pentecostal churches, they don't get it. They go in there, start jumping and hollering. And the Bible said, when you come to the house of God, be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Why did he say that? Because faith cometh by hearing, and Enoch was translated by faith. The hearing of the word is what we need. So then, be still, he said, and know that I'm God. And that means still in your spirit, gentle in your spirit. The Bible said a meek, humble spirit is of great value in the sight of God. You can come to church from now on, but I'm dealing tonight with the third part, with your spirit. This is the essential part, is your spirit. Being a church member, the Jews was a church member. The Jews went to church, they fasted, they done all those things, but they did not get into the kingdom of God. Didn't have. So then we see that natural aspect, it failed. Why did it fail? Because they sought it as though it was by works and they missed it. They fasted, they prayed, the man went up into the temple. He stood up there and he beat himself on the chest and said, I thank God I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. I pay my tithes. I give this of all I possess in the same spirit some of you had a while ago. I've done this and I've done it and all that kind of thing. The Lord said, you're not justified. Another fellow got up there and he just dropped down like that in humility. He said, Lord, just whatever you give me will be all right. I ain't done nothing, deserve nothing, no way. And the Lord said, go on down to your house, be justified. That's right, it's by him. It's by his grace. Brother Taylor, you haven't done anything for God to justify you in works, brother. I haven't either. You haven't either, brother. You stayed in Mexico a long time. God appreciates it. I don't justify you. You ain't done nothing. Ain't done nothing. Not a thing. Brother Ernie, you haven't done anything for God to justify you. Brother Tom? No. Brother John? Dad? Brother Beachy? No, sir. No, sir. Brother Ben? No, sir. Brother Gene? No, sir. Brother Zale? No, sir. Well, how does it come? It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. Whatever you get, it's strictly by the grace of God. If he gives us anything here tonight, you'll know it's by grace. You'll know it's by grace because there ain't no way I can find that mind. That mind, just like when they come to Elisha over there and they told him, they said, prophesy to us. He couldn't prophesy. He wasn't in the mind of God. He said, you'll have to get some music. You'll have to get something here to where I can get in the right spirit to get the mind of God. He said, if it wasn't for this king right over here, he said, I wouldn't even speak to you after the way you done, after I told you what to do and you went and done another thing. He couldn't do it. He couldn't get in the mind of the Lord. Why? It takes the mind of the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you're disgusted, you can go home. Yeah, there's a spirit wants to get disgusted. They want me to go ahead and do what they want me to do. If you're disgusted, you can go home. What is it? You've got to get in the mind of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to rebuke some of you when them spirits come up here talking to me. I'm going to rebuke them if I have to turn around and point the stick at you and tell you who you are. Open rebukes are better than secret love. And the Bible said if they see and rebuke them openly, that others might see. How many of you would love to see me rebuke somebody openly? That others might see and fear that they don't do it. We need to fear God. Is that right? That's right. What are you doing, Brother Pike? I'm still preaching to you. I'm still preaching, but I'm trying to pick up the mind of Revelation. There's a lady here, she gets disgusted if things don't go like she wants it to. She just gets thoroughly disgusted. That kind of bothered you, didn't it, lady? That's exactly right. You need open rebuke. All right, now then, right here. This is the natural. We'll try to pick it up again. Brother Ernie, I haven't changed. I'm the same George. I ain't changed none. Same George. All right here. See, this is the same. This right here is the same land that Peter, James, and John walked right here. Same land. I'm the same preacher I was 10 years ago. This is the spiritual aspect over here, but God hasn't changed. He's the same God he was right over here. I might go into Revelation, but I'm the same as I was right over here. No change. So then we see right here, here is the Holy Land. This is where the men walked. This is where they worked their miracles. God worked miracles over here. How did he do it? He worked these miracles right here in the natural. He dealt with the natural. This was the natural Jew right here. And everything he done practically was in the natural. Open up the Red Sea. He stopped the sun. He Stopped the moon. He done all those things. He got over here in the second realm that we talked from last night. He done things in the physical. He restored limbs. He healed deaf ears. He opened the blinded eyes. And the Jews over here, because God worked miracles over here in the natural, you never could get them into the physical. Is that right? Right over here, even to this very day, they're still trying to form a desert over there. Is that right, Brother Ben? Still trying to form a desert. Right here, it's the same way. This realm right here is the middle realm, and remember, I said that this realm and this realm is actually the same, and I divided it up to where we could, I divided it and showed, or rather God divided it to give the types, and then I put them together up here and showed that really it was this realm right here. All of it was the grace realm. But God divided it. He gave us about 200 years over here. Columbus over here, I believe it says 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Right here about 1500 years, and then this come in, and finally we got maybe 200 years. I think a democracy stands about 200 years. Only you got about 200 years in this. God divided it and separated it to give us a type so that we could have a spiritual. So then these people right here, they never could get away from the physical aspect of it. Jesus came in the physical aspect, and they never could get away from it. They got to have blind eyes open. They got to have deaf ears unstopped. They got to see the lame walk. Why have they got to do that? Jesus said, a sinful and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. That's why they got to have it. They're looking for something outwardly. The Bible said men look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. The Bible said God, Brother Tommy, desires truth in the inward parts. And so then right here, here it is. Yet they're still doing this, even until today. This and this is the same one. Big tents and tractors and all those things right there. What are they doing? They want to stay in the natural. They want to stay in the physical, rather, in the physical realm of intellect to make money, have Cadillacs and all those kind of things right here. This is what they want to do. Open blind eyes and all those things. Well, somebody said, well, Brother Pike, don't you know that when you open blind eyes and unstopped deaf ears, you're going to win people to God? No, sir. You can't show me that in the Bible nowhere. Somebody said, why, when you have great miracles, you'll have great crowds. That's exactly right. A sinful and adulterous generation. That's exactly right. Somebody said, but that'll win folks. No, it don't. Jesus worked miracles among them, Brother Taylor. He opened blind eyes, the unstopped deaf ears, and the multitudes came. When he got through, Jesus looked at him and said, you didn't follow me because of the miracles. Said, you come on, count the fishes and the loaves. Miracles don't convert nobody. It don't convert nobody. So then, see, what are they doing it for? It's for the fishes and the loaves. That's why they're doing it. That's exactly why they do it. There's people that would follow this ministry right here if they never did have to work. If they never did have to do nothing, Brother Zale, they'd follow this ministry right on down the line wherever it went. If you'd feed them and take care of them. Like Sister Dorothy Pike come to me one time and she said, the Lord spoke to me. Or come to the line and said, God dealt with me. There was a few people following. I said, Betty, well, what are you talking about? She said that, Sister Dorothy said, the Lord spoke to her and said some of them wasn't following you for nothing but the fish and the loaves. Could I deny it? No, because it was true. It was true, absolutely. People are just plain lazy if you want to know the truth about it. Some of them just don't want to work. The Bible said if a brother don't work, neither shall he eat. Said just shun him, leave him alone, don't count him as an enemy, just shun him. Said if he's too lazy to work, just disfellowship him and he might be ashamed. Is that all right? That's Bible. That's Bible. Somebody said, now Brother Pike, I wouldn't do that. Jesus done it. Jesus had a great multitude. If Brother Oral Roberts had got up and said the same thing to his great multitude, they'd have narrowed down too. That's right. Is that right, Brother Gene? That's right. Some folks are just lazy. That's all it is to it. That's just good old common plain talk. That's the only kind I know. John said the axe is laid into the root of the tree. All right, right here, this is the same realm right here. Right here is the same realm. What do they want to do? They want to open blind eyes, unstop deaf ears. The Bible says in one place, said, Lord, said, we believe to see. We don't have to see to believe, but we believe to see. Faith believes to see the thing happen. Faith believed, Brother Taylor, that he might see the thing happen. Is that right? You don't wait till you see something to believe it. A sinful and adulterous generation looks on the outward appearance. So then you say, don't you believe in miracles? I certainly do. I wish we had more of them in our midst. More blind eyes open. More deaf ears unstopped. Say, well, you ought to fast more. I don't see where that'll do it. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou takest no knowledge? Sometimes you fast, God don't even notice it. It depends on what you're fasting for. I made the statement the other night. And I mean this from my heart. I'd rather have a person in my church here, as our minister, that had never fasted one day in their life, that had a spirit of charity and love and obedience, than a fellow that would fast 15 days and get self-conceited. You'll never get him in harmony with you. But if a man will come in and be obedient, obedience is better than sacrifice. If I can get 10 people together, Brother Al, that will come in and be obedient, get in the right spirit together, I can go through Revelation from now on. One man could come in, just like last night we had a man that come in here. I know he's a good man. Fasted days after days after days, aggravated me more than anybody in the whole building. Why? You say it's God? How could that be God? God's not divided. The kingdom of the Lord's not divided. No, it was a spirit. That's what it was. A man's a good man. Just don't give place to the devil. All right, now then, right here, and right here, what is? These two rims are tied together. It's that sinful, adulterous generation that's seeking after a sign. We went through this one last night of human anatomy. We broke it down up here, broke it down into the body, into the hell rim, and then into paradise, which took us over here, Dad, over this rim right here, over the spiritual rim. All right, now then, let's just drop back here for a few minutes. Right here, look at the body. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, he said. I thank God through Jesus Christ that I'm delivered from this body right here. What did the Bible tell us? The Bible says, at death of the body, is this right? At death, the Bible said, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. Is that Bible, Brother Gahele? At death, your spirit goeth back to God who gave it. All right, now, I want to ask you a question along here and say some things. Now then, if at death the body goeth back, I'm going to the grave, and the spirit goeth back to God who gave it, then how many of you believe that you're dead tonight? I know some of you don't act like it. At least Brother Ernie, he raised his hand. All right, then how many of you believe you're dead tonight? The Bible said, reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin by the body of Jesus Christ. So many as was baptized into his death, in his name was baptized into his death and was baptized for the dead. You've been baptized for the dead, which dead? The dead Jesus Christ. You are baptized for the dead, which means that you are dead. You're baptized for the dead. That means that you're dead. You're not alive anymore. Why was you baptized? For the dead people. That is to be dead. You were baptized for death. Your body is here, where? In a watery grave, buried. Buried. Your body is dead and buried. I brought it out last night, how that Brother John Carnes right here been a sailor. He confirmed it last night that they bury sailors out in the water. The Bible speaks of the water being a grave. It said in the book of Revelation, sea gave up its dead. And the sea gave up its dead. The only way that God could bear us, and folks, for the Lord's sake and my sake, let's remember this is not a figure of speech. When the Lord Jesus Christ said something, I emphasized this last night, people have placed such little emphasis on his word that to them it's just a figure of speech and it don't mean a thing. But let me tell you something, it does mean something and it's not a figure of speech. It's not a figure of speech. When the Lord said something, he meant every word of it. He said, you are baptized for the dead. Brother, that means you're just as dead as dead can be. In the sight of God, you're dead. You're dead. Not a figure of speech. Somebody said, that's just symbolic. There's nothing symbolic about it. You're dead. You're dead. That's just a symbol. No, sir. Absolutely not. Is the grave out there in the water a symbol, Brother John, when they drop a sailor off out there dead? Is that just a symbol? That's real, isn't it? They're really putting the body down there in the grave. That's not a symbol, my brother. No, sir, you left a dead man back there, and the Bible said it's not you that liveth. Why is it not you that liveth? There's been a divine translation that took place. Why is it not you that liveth? Right there, I'm going to say this. Some folks are living. That's the reason there's such a stink in the church today. Some of them dead and rotten and then dug back up, so to speak. But right there, you're dead. That's dead right there. If we had the grave robbers to leave the graves along, we wouldn't have such a stink in the land. Right there. The body is dead. Alright, now then, if the body is dead and in the grave, what did Paul say? At death, right here, we are dead by the body of Jesus Christ. At death, he said the spirit of life goeth back to God who gave it. How many of you really believe you're dead tonight? Do you really believe you are? Really dead? Do you really in your heart believe you're dead? Like Brother Ball, when he come to me yesterday, I believe it was a day before yesterday, he said, God said to me, he said, boy, you ain't dead. He said, you need to go on another fast. So he said he'd gone on another 3 weeks fast. Well, there's one thing about it, if he don't get dead pretty soon, he's going to be dead in the body. Because he done got so thin, he can't go too much further. I'll tell you right now, I don't mean this wrong. I don't know the brother, I appreciate everything he's doing, but I'm going to tell you one thing. It's better to get your will dead and get dead in your will and let God have his way than it is to have to go through a lot of things that folks are going through with. That's right. One man can go on a 3-day fast and do more for him than a fellow going on a 15 or 20-day fast. I know that for a fact. I've done seen it. Right here, the grave, you're dead. Your body is dead. Why do we need to know this? If we can continue on into the deep things of God, and tonight I'm just barely scratching the surface because we haven't emerged into that depth yet that I want to go into. We haven't got the drawing for it. We just haven't got the setting for it. But we ought to have because this is crossing over Jordan. Right here, the body is dead. The body is dead. It's dead. Can you understand that now? The body is dead. It's not a figure of speech. I want to dwell on this because this is one of the main factors. That body is dead. If you're baptized with Christ Jesus, then you are dead, completely dead. What do you want a living room suit for? What are you worried about an automobile for? Why do you want pretty pictures to hang on the wall? Why do you want some pretty clothing to wear around? Why do you get huffed up and puffed up and pout and want money? Why is it you can't obey your husband and husband you can't love your wife? Why is it? It's because you're not dead. I'm speaking about dead folks. The Bible said they that are Christ have crucified the body with the lust and the affections thereof. Set your affections on things in heaven, where thieves don't break through and steal, where moth don't corrupt, or where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Somebody said, my treasures is in heaven. I'll tell you one thing. If your treasures is in heaven, I know a good way to find out. Just turn a little boy by the name of Gina loose and let him go over there and pick him up a few rocks and take a few pop shots at your car and we'll find out where your treasures are and where your heart is too. That's right. That might hurt a little, but that's right. Right here, the body is the grave. I've said this and I want to stand by. You can go into a home by the beach and you can knock a little monkey, a little glass monkey, a dog off of a whatnot, and you'll find out how sanctified they are. Let a little innocent child go in there. You'll find out where their treasures are. So then here's the body. It's dead. They crucified the flesh. They crucified the flesh. It's dead with the lust out. It doesn't have any desires for the things of this world. Tonight, if I know it in my heart that I was going to backslide tonight, if I knew that I was going to backslide, that is to say, if I knew there wasn't a chance for me, if I knew there wasn't a chance, I still couldn't go back out in the world. I still wouldn't have no desire. I'm dead to those things out there. Brother Ernie, if I know I was going to be lost tonight, you'd have to put me in a straitjacket. Somebody said, well, if I wasn't going to live right, I'd just go back out there. I couldn't go back out there. That's just proof you need something. You need something. Something ain't right there. Brother, when you're dead, you're dead. When you're dead, you're dead. And I died. Paul said, I died. I died right there. I died. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. If your body isn't dead unto sin, there's something wrong, my brother. If your body isn't dead unto sin, somewhere down the line the devil's going to cause you to rise up. Your body must be dead to sin. Dead to sin. All right, what has happened here? The Lord Jesus Christ went down there. He died right here in his body to show the death of your body so that you might not have to go into the grave. What did he do? He died right here. He suffered death in his soul. God actually turned away from him and his soul actually went into hell and suffered death right there. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. He suffered the agony of the death of the soul right there so your soul wouldn't have to go down there. Right over here in paradise, he went into paradise. Before paradise was really lifted up into the presence of God, as Bible scholars know it was called Upper Sheol and Lower Sheol right here. Right when it was in the heart of the earth, the Bible said Jesus went down there and loosed the souls that were in prison. Somebody said, I don't believe that. I know your spirit don't believe that. But let me tell you, that doesn't make any difference. The Lord said to Daniel, you'll rest in your lot. You'll rest in your lot till these things come to pass. The Bible speaks of the patriarchs of old. And when he speaks of the patriarchs of old, what did it say? They had to rest in their lots. These without us could not be made perfect. The Bible said they without us could not be made perfect. On the day of Pentecost, when the Lord Jesus Christ came over in the form of the Holy Ghost, Peter said, this is that the prophet Joel said would come to pass. In the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. Why did he say that? Because old men had already been having visions. But he said, now it's coming a time when a man child will come up. Your young men will have visions. So then, what is it? You understand what I'm saying tonight? When the Holy Ghost was poured out, he said, this is that. And you read in the book of Peter that had the revelation, he said that the Spirit of Christ went into the heart of the earth to preach to the souls in prison. Now then, that spirit that kind of took the wrong outlook a while ago because you've been taught something from a formality. I want you to notice this now. The Bible said it went into the heart of the earth. Then where was it at? It was in the earth, just like I told you it was. It went into the heart of the earth. See, this is the trouble with the church world today. They've got a lot of theology, got a lot of ideas. They've got a lot of feelings about what happened. But Brother Gonzalez, it's according to what the Word of the Lord says about it. It has to be what God says about it. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord, Brother Taylor, went into the heart of the earth to preach to the souls in prison. Who were those souls? The Bible said they waited in the long suffering of the days of Noah. Back there, in the days of Noah, they were cut off there in the days of Noah. They didn't get to go in. They didn't get to hear the gospel like we're getting to hear it. What did Jesus do? He went down and preached to them. Was there anybody down there? The Bible said at the resurrection, the graves broke open, and some of the patriarchs of old got up out of the graves and walked around through the cities. Why? Because God had moved paradise. He had moved it. Where did he move it? He moved it right into the presence of God. Right into the presence of God. Now, did you know that this is your spirit? Right in your spirit is the paradise of God, which is the kingdom. In your spirit tonight, God set his kingdom up and put your spirit in it on the inside. And your spirit is in paradise, which means in the midst of the God mind, in the midst of the God spirit. Right here, where is your soul? God had to release your soul from hell. I brought it out last night in the blood realm. You are burned in your lusts one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly. The lustful passions, blood meaning fire. Your soul is in that blood realm, the red dragon, and it's in a terror and a turmoil of hell and covetousness of the things of this world. But Jesus went down in there and conquered the red dragon. He went down in there, and what did he do? He took a baptism of fire to burn the chaff out. A baptism of fire, baptize you with the Holy Ghost in your spirit and with fire in your soul to burn the chaff out. Is that right, Brother Ernie? What did he do over here with the body? He came into your body. The Bible teaches that he gave you a water baptism right here. A water baptism. He baptized your body with water in the name of Jesus. Right here, he brought a fire that come on the day of Pentecost to burn the chaff out right here to baptize you in your soul, which was sanctification, which was the application of the blood. His blood is the fire that burns the chaff out. Over here in your spirit, he came into your spirit here. And when he came in here, he came into the Holy Ghost. And he baptized your spirit with eternal life. You believe that's true? You know where the trouble is today? A lot of you don't like the fire. You might as well just say amen or oh me. I can get up here with a fan in my hand and start purging the floor to gather the wheat into the garners, and you don't light the fire. That's where the trouble comes in. Somebody said, bless God, you ought to be loving. That is loving. That is loving. Loving. I don't want your kind of loving. You can go peddle that somewhere else. I want the word of the Lord. I want the same love that took the whip in the temple and popped it out there and flipped over the money tables and said, my Father's house be called a house of prayer. You made it a den of thieves. That's the kind of love we need right there. Love that'll put people straight. That is love. Somebody talking about love. You try that in your own home. Every time you go in, you just let your wife do you any old way and say, honey, I just can't raise my voice at you. And when the children tear up everything in the house, say, well, I just don't feel like I can raise my voice at you. And you see how long you have a home. You see how long you have a wife. After a while, that wife will do you like some wives has done some other husbands when they come to me and say, I wish my husband wasn't one of them bent over double fellas and just flip-flop around any old way. I wish he was a man and stand up or something so I'd have something to lean on. Yeah, she knew she could knock him around. Anybody else could. She couldn't. She said, I don't even feel like I can lean on him. I don't feel like he's got no strength. You call that love? No, sir, Jesus had a backbone, and don't you ever forget it either. He had a backbone. He could stand and tears roll down his cheeks, and he could say, little children, I say unto you. He could have tears rolling down his cheek, and he could tell how much he loved you, and he'd say, come unto me, all you that labor and the heavy laden, tears dripping off of his cheek. He could turn right around, reach back and plait a whip, and pop that thing and say, my Father's house is not a den of thieves. You hypocrite, he said. Sir, right there, what is it? Right here in this room, the people don't like the fire. Why is it the church is not filled up tonight? They don't like the fire. Brother Ben, why did your congregation run off and leave you? They didn't like the fire. You got too close to them. That's what it was. You get too close to them. You can just do like some of them do. You can just don't preach nothing. Just get up here and say, the Bible said, I would above all things, beloved, that ye prosper. And I'm not mocking. Somebody said, are you mocking? Yeah, I'm mocking the false prophets just like Elijah did. He stood and mocked them. He got up there. What do? They say, the Lord wants you to prosper and be in health, my little children. Oh, yes, my little children, God wants you to prosper and be in health. Why? Because he wants you to prosper and make $500,000 so I can figure out how to get half of it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. They don't require nothing, just like Brother Oral Roberts, one of the greatest men that ever walked the earth. Why did he have such a large following? Because he never did have no standards. I don't know of any standards that Oral Roberts ever preached of holiness after he got started. I checked him and I followed him. I never did find none. I kept wondering, why does the multitude flock after him? Why did they do that? Because the Bible said that everybody speaks well of the false prophet. That's why they do that. You say you're saying Oral Roberts a false prophet? I said a child is known by his doings. Lipstick and powder and paint and bebop and then going into the Methodist Church, what was it? It led what few Pentecostal people that would have got grounded in God into the wrong things. I say it did. The Lord never did lose a one of them. It was real, but it's just a decoy to call the others off. Now, I tell you what, like Brother Branham said one time, he stood up preaching the gospel. He said, what is all this I hear about God is a good God? I remember as long as I live, I guess when he stood over at Brother Littlefield, said people talking about God is a good God. He said, I'll have you to know God's a God of judgment too. The Bible said, you beware, ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. Does that sound like love? God said, if you don't do right, I'll tear you into pieces. What kind of love is that? I believe it's love. Sure, if I had a sheep out there and if I couldn't do a ram or something that couldn't do nothing for him, he's always running to everybody else, I'd get rid of him. I would. If he couldn't live peacefully with everybody else, I'd get rid of him. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? I think that's love to the flock. I think you can get one-sided in love. If this judge up here lets somebody run around and peddle dope out here and say, well, he don't mean to do it, and he causes my daughter to become a dope addict and your son to become a dope addict, and every time you take him up there before a judge, he says, well, I just ain't got the heart to do it. For my, I just love him too much. Well, you'd soon get another judge, wouldn't you? Would you? If I was out there in the world, I'd say, oh boy, you need to be on your way. I'd get a petition signed and I'd get that fellow out of there. No, sir, love works two ways. Love looks out for the others as well as it does the one. Amen. It looks out for everybody. Love looks after the innocent party. That's right. Somebody said, you abuse my young'uns when you go to correct them. I'll tell you right now, I'm trying to take care of the other young'uns. That's right. That's love. I tell you, y'all might think I'm all warped up. Maybe I am. I don't know, but this is all I know. I'm just going to hurry to go across this first part because we got this on tape somewhere here anyway. Now, how many of you know that when the pilgrims came from the old country, they landed at Plymouth Rock? Now, they landed at Plymouth Rock. When they did, they set up right around here in Jamestown, Virginia. And then the great pilgrimage started across the continent. And they conquered as they went across here, all the way across the Mississippi, all the way across the Rockies, and then out here into California. They went out there, the gold rush. God has got ways of doing things, and he knows people love money because he let that desire be in their heart. And so then he let the gold be out here in California so the gold could be discovered and cause the people to run to California. He knows the lust of the flesh. He did this that he might fulfill his allegories. Now, a lot of people in this world, they think, well, everything just happened like that, and it just coincidentally it got like that. But I want to tell you something. The Lord created this entire world for one purpose. That was to reveal himself through types and shadows. Every hair on your head was created not for you to stand around and comb it and look in the mirror and be pretty. Somebody said, well, why did he create my eyelashes? Even your eyelashes, I run it down in Revelation. Even your eyelashes had to be put up there, Brother Beachy, for a revelation purpose. Everything, even your sex organs, run it down in Revelation. Even your intestines, run it down in Revelation. Your eyes and your ears and your mouth and your teeth, run it down in Revelation. Even the pipes that's under the earth right here in the city that goes to your commode over here, that goes to your laboratory, I've run it down in Revelation. Even the coal mines and the diamond mines and even the funny-looking fish down in the ocean, even the ball of fire in the heart of the earth from the years, I've run it down in Revelation. It had to be there. Everything had to be there. Why you was made a woman, run it down in Revelation. Why there had to be children, run it down in Revelation. Everything, why the fire extinguisher has to hang on the wall, it was because of Revelation. Why there has to be lights, run it down in Revelation. Every bit of this we run down in Revelation and multiplied more. Everything has to run down in Revelation. Why these little rails have to be across here? Now, but God, everything that he's done in this world was for one purpose. That was to give you a spiritual education. How many of you know that God is a spirit? Let me tell you something, folks. The living room suit, the curtains that hang on the window, the pictures have run it all down in Revelation. While you lust after those things as the swine and fill your belly with those things which is the husk within which the revelation grain grows, God is calling in some children and giving them the revelation grain, and that he might cast the husk over into the fire and burn all of it up in this world. Every type and shadow, every figure, every allegory, God did it. Why is there a generator on a car? Run it down and write Revelation. Why is there spark plugs in there? Run it down in Revelation. Why has it got wires running? Why has it got everything in the motor? Run it down in Revelation. Everything. Why? It has to be like that. It has to be like that. See? Now, if I was standing up here shooting out here, just shooting, scattered and shooting wild, and didn't know what I was talking about, you say, Brother Pike, is this true? Brother Tom, you read some in the book that we've got over here in the office, didn't you? Did you ever get over to the part about the clock that hang in the over here in the courthouse square? Why there had to be a courthouse? Why there had to be a clock in the top of it? About the pipes that run out of the city? Why there had to be gas pipes? Why there had to be light? And why is running out? Why there have to be about three major things coming out? Why there has to be a living room in the house? Why there has to be a bed in the living room? Why? All of it in Revelation. So then, I'm not shooting scattered. It's not something, some wild idea. I said the other night, I hope that I can give you maybe a third of the Revelation. I hope we can get that full on. Maybe just a third of it. We never even get a third of it. But maybe just get this kind of skeleton of it. Just enough to try to understand. Then you can follow the other things. God will reveal them to you. It takes some years. It takes some years, but God can give them to you. So then you see what we're missing? I can break this down right here. The anointing of God will come and I can break it down. I broke it down all night long. I've talked all night long, night after night, where I'd get one or two individuals. Me and Tom talked about 3,500 miles, I guess it was. And by the time it was Revelation practically all the way for days, wasn't it? Went back into my own life, and even when I was a little boy, Dad out the harvest place, when I used to plow along and plow up the snake, checked it out in Revelation. Why it was named the harvest place, noted in Revelation. Why Uncle Leonard run up to you that time and throw a gun on you, was fixing to shoot you. Know why it was in Revelation. All of it. Why? When I set the fire up there and it burned the brick and it jumped off and burned the whole place off. Checked it out in Revelation. On down the road. Why I stayed at a funeral home with a little dog named Tom. Checked it out in Revelation. Every bit of it. Right on down in Revelation. You believe that? That's the truth. Every one of us ought to come to the place to where we can check our life out, Brother Taylor. We've checked your life out in Revelation, the little gray car, the death of your mother, a number of other things. Is that right? In Revelation. Yes, sir. In Revelation. Brother Gonzalez, we've checked yours out in Revelation. Brother Beachy, checked yours out in Revelation. Just partially. Brother John, Brother Tom, Brother Zale, the three wise men from the east, and Dad. Is that right? Brother Gahealy, Brother Frank Beretta, Brother Gene. Checked it out in Revelation. You think I don't know where you're going and what you're doing tonight? By the grace of God, I do. I know where Ernie's going and what he's doing. I know what he's doing here. I know. I know where Floyd's going. I know where Sam's going. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of you need to get control of your boat. The waters are shaking it mighty bad. I said that today. Did I say in the control room and say it today? Some of them's in dangerous places. You need to get a hold of your boat. You're in dangerous places. If I didn't know that, I wouldn't tell you that. So then in the third dimensional realm, we're just breaking down just the allegoric pattern here of it. In the third dimensional realm, God let him go to the west. He wanted to fulfill his revelation. So these people had to be born into the world. I brought it out the other night, how that Columbus and how that Noah over here was identically the same. How many was here when I brought it out? Noah had three sons, is that right? Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Is that right? When he took them across the great deluge. Over here, Columbus had what? The Mina, the Athena, and the Santa Maria. Is that right? It went just exactly the way it was supposed to go. Every bit of it went just exactly the way it was supposed to go. Brother William Branham, right here, born into the world for that purpose. Had to be born like that. Somebody said, well, I believe I'll fast and seek God and God will make me a prophet. You'll never do that. You can fast until your hair comes out and your eyeballs fall out. You won't ever get to be a prophet. The Lord said to the prophet, said, before you was ever formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and ordained you to be a prophet among men. You don't get to be a prophet by that. Somebody said, I'm going to fast and pray and get me a revelation. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. How many of you believe in the days of Moses that somebody could have went on a 50-day fast and then come up there and say, Moses, I done got me a ministry of my own? You believe that? Jesus chose 12 disciples over there and he laid down a plan. And now, how many think somebody could have went on about a 50 or 100-day fast and come over there and say, Jesus, I know you're the Messiah, but I decided to do this thing on my own. Peter, I know you got the keys to the kingdom, but after all, you got your ministry and I got my ministry. You think they could have done that? No, sirree. They certainly couldn't have done that. No, sir. And you can't do it either. You can't do it either. How many of you think that the people that was under that ministry could have went up there and told Peter how he ought to run the church? How many of you think he could have come up there and told them what they felt about it? We need to understand what we're doing. God is moving a certain way. He's doing a certain thing. I don't have anything. I don't ask a question. I'm not smart. I'm one of the dumbest fellows you ever met in your life. As a matter of fact, I believe Brother Ernie was over there. Brother Ben was over there. I couldn't even open a can of sardines with a can cutter. I stood up there and I fumbled and I fumbled and I fumbled and I finally just, well, I said, Betty, would you please come and open me a can of sardines? That's how dumb I am. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not trying to be modest. I go down to the hospital down there and I stand there and I look at the buttons and I go to mash one and I say, no, now that won't bring the elevator down. It ain't but two buttons on the whole thing. And I stood there till I was actually embarrassed, hoping somebody'd come and mash the right button for me. That's the truth, so help me God. I can't find my socks. My wife, she gets upset at me. I can't even find my socks sometimes. I can't find my clothes. I can't help it. But when it comes to spiritual revelation, I don't have to do nothing. It just drops out of heaven in my head. I can't help it. I don't have, I guess that's why the Lord gave it to me. Is because he knew I was a foolish thing. The Bible said God chose the foolish thing. Now they tell me that, I don't know about this, but something just come to my mind since we're talking about it. They tell me that Einstein was a genius. Is that right? Some of you might know. I don't know. But they tell me that the man, he was a genius, but he didn't hardly know his right hand from his left. That's where he was. Is that right, Brother Taylor? You know something about it. They say to man, I remember some little frivolous things that he said he just couldn't even get straightened out of his mind. Well, I would have mocked it, but I know that's true. A man can know one thing and not know nothing about another. And I can't help it. Even my own dad sitting right there. Dad, do you remember right over there when we was painting the college in Covington, Georgia, when you looked at me on the stopper and you said, you must be a jinx. Everything went wrong. Everything happened to me. That's true. But I can't help it because I found myself in this place. I didn't put myself in this place. God said, Moses, go down and lead the children of Israel. He said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm a man slow of speech. I don't know how to talk with him. But he went down anyway. He said, who made your tongue? Who made your mouth? So? Now then, so when I'm up here telling you I'm not a know-all, I'm one of the dumbest fellows in the whole crew. But I'll tell you one thing. I got a revelation from Christ. How I got it, I can't figure it out. But I know it's here. And I know it works because it doesn't use it. Right here is Egypt. God caused all the way from here over to here. God caused them people to go because of the gold rush. When they got over here in the gold rush, then they set up out here. They took away from the east right here all the ruling power and drove the fame and popularity to the west. Is that what happened over here? Is that the same thing that happened over here? Civilization come up in the east. God drawed it all the way over here to the western world. Didn't he do it? He did it. He did it for his types and allegories. He did it to reveal himself to humanity through types and shadows. Over here. Now then, do you know that God is about, watch, if you can see this, and I think you can, from over here, they come over here. You understand what I mean? I'm just using the three maps to show it. And then from here, they come over here. When they got over here, it landed at Plymouth Rock, they went over here. Now when the Lord starts back, he's got to break it down the same way. One, two, three. Got to go right back here. One, two, three. One, two, three. Got to go right back the same way he come. The same identical way. He's got to break it down the same way. Right here. They went over to Egypt. Now, after they got over here, that was the end of the natural pilgrimage of mankind. That was as far as they could go. That was the intellectual realms. That was as far as they could go. That ended the second dimension right here. That ended it. Now, what was to happen? God was to take it just like you take a coat, turn it inside out and reverse it and start the pilgrimage back right here. He had to turn it around and start it back. So he turned it around right here. And what did he do? He called a man by the name of William Branham right here. A man rejected by the brethren. Joseph rejected by the brethren, the denominational brethren. When they had completely crucified Brother Branham and killed his influence and done everything they could to destroy his ministry, what happened right here? Joseph of Arimathea in the type and shadow. The full gospel businessmen picked him up and buried him in their tomb because that's what he was. Picked him up and buried him right here. I don't know of anything that he's ever joined in his whole life. It shocked me when I found out he was a member of the full gospel businessmen. After rejecting all the denominations and then turning joined, I was literally shocked. Brother Ernie, he actually joined it. Become a member of it. What was it? It was a tomb. It had to be like that. Brother Branham couldn't escape it. He hated denominations, but he couldn't escape his destiny. So then in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, he was buried. But look at the beauty of what God was doing. God, in the last days, sent a prophet. Never in the history of the world has God ever failed to send a prophet. In the old days, he sent a prophet. In every age that's ever come by, he sent a prophet. He never was without a prophet. Right here, Brother William Branham. Never been a greater prophet that ever walked on the face of the earth than William Branham. Never. I don't know of anyone that ever walked. Elijah, Moses, you say, well, they were a lot greater than Brother Branham. I know they were great men. But did you know the man that lived in this age that we're living in had to have more knowledge than Moses had? Did you know that we're living in the age where the Bible said knowledge would increase? And did you know that we have, in this day that we're living in, that we've got to have a greater portion of God in this day? The man that walked as William Branham had to be one of the greatest men that ever walked on the face of the earth. That's right. So then, Brother Branham in his heart had oceans of revelation. But did he give it to the people? Did he? Right here, Moses got the law. Did he give it to the people? The Bible said they broke it. What did they do? What did they do? They broke the law right here when Brother Branham went up into the Mount of God, into the spiritual side of life, and gave them the laws of God. What did they do? They broke it. God has given them the natural word. Brother Ernie, he's given them the written word in every seminary across this country. Do they obey it, Brother Taylor? They break it. They break it. They transgress it. That means that they're judged by it and will be condemned with it because they have a knowledge of it. So then they broke it. They didn't keep it. When Brother Branham gave it to it, even his own followers didn't keep it. I know his own followers. They don't even keep it. Brother Branham preached against one thing and they go right and do the very thing he told them it was wrong to do. They broke it. They're doing it right now in Tucson, Arizona, still saying he's their pastor. Right here, Jesus said to some of the people that came to him, he said, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and keep not my sayings? How can I be your Lord when you don't obey what I say? Lord means ruler. How have I got rulership and control over you when you do not the things I tell you to do? Not everyone that saith Lord, Lord will inherit the kingdom of God." He said, "But they that do the will of God, for I am their Lord, I am their ruler, I am their controller." You say, "God's my Lord." No, sir, not unless you obey His word. He said, "If you love me, you keep my commandments." Brother Tom, when you obey somebody, that's your Lord. Sarah obeyed Abraham. He was a Lord. And it's the same way. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. That means that nobody can obey the gospel except you got the Holy Ghost within you. You got to have the Holy Ghost. That'll make you obey. That'll make Him your Lord, your controller. He controls you by the Spirit of God. All right? Now then, did they keep the law? They absolutely did not keep the law. They broke it. Did they obey Brother Branham? No, they did not. They broke it. They never obeyed Brother Branham. They never did the things that he said, and all they ever got out of it was a little sprinkle, a form of rain that you might say. That's all they ever got. He was sent as a great and a mighty deliverer. There never has been a greater prophet that ever walked the earth than Brother Branham, and if I was you, I wouldn't be looking for none. So then, Brother William Branham went into the tomb right here, Joseph of Arimathea. His body went into the grave right up there, just like we showed it. God always repeats Himself in types and shadows. In this third dimensional step, His body went into the grave. His soul, which was His wife, His heart, the woman's in the soul realm. She went out here in the desert, in the middle realm right here, went into hell. This was hell. This is where His soul went to, right here. His wife and His children, which was His very soul and heart, stayed out here in the desert. He went into the full gospel businessman's place right here. Where did His spirit go? His spirit was His voice of revelation. His voice of revelation was on tape, which was His spirit. Where did it go? It broke in the Carolinas. Brother Junior Jackson stood and prophesied when Brother Branham was killed. Brother Junior Jackson said, "Thus saith the Lord, the ministry will turn eastward and the message will go eastward." I predicted by revelation it would go eastward. He predicted by inspiration that it would go eastward. Did it go eastward? It sure did. Brother Bill Padares and them picked it up, put it on television. I had the privilege of going through here and taking the message right here in this area. Men that had prophesied women into the ministry had to go back to the women and face them and tell them that they were wrong. Little Henry Green was one of them, a good little brother. Right here in this area, did it go eastward? It certainly did go eastward. Right there. Not only did it go eastward, but it's still moving eastward. Now then, that was at Brother Branham's death. But did the church, was the church brought over? Was God through with it? Brother Branham brought His people right out here into the desert, just like Moses did, into the wilderness. Right here is the Rockies. Waters mean people, and this is the biggest Indian reservation in the world, which is the Red Man, the Red Waters, which is the Red Sea, right there in the Rockies. Brother Branham brought them out to the Red Sea. That's where he brought them to, just like Moses did. He got out here, he went up into a mountain right here. He got the revelation of Christ. All right? to symbolize it by the mosaical thing, God working His types and shadows. Brother Branham said on a tape, he said, "My ministry is finished." I heard him say it. He said, "My ministry is finished." Alright, his ministry was finished when he got the people out here in the wilderness. Because Moses got the people in the wilderness, his ministry was finished. He had finished his course, brother. Got him out here in the wilderness, he said, "My ministry is finished." He went up on Sunset Mountain. When he got up on Sunset Mountain to show you that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, over here Joshua had control of the heavens. Here come along another man way over here in the spiritual dimension that raised the dead, Brother Floyd, by sworn affidavits of the doctors. Right here, he climbed up on Sunset Mountain. He got up on Sunset Mountain and a cloud come down from out of heaven like a halo. You say, "I don't believe that." Go home if you've got a set of yearbooks and look in them. And you'll find that on a certain mountain out in Tucson, Arizona, on a certain day that a cloud came down out of heaven, that some of them at the school turned out at school and looked at it over there. That's when over at the school some of them got all excited and said, "I wonder what's going on." And I think Brother Branham had a little nephew or something over there. He said, "My Uncle Billy Branham's over there." I said, "That's what's going on." And right out of heaven, Brother Beretta, came a cloud. A ring of cloud, Brother John, came out of heaven. Scientists studied it and looked at it. And you read the yearbook, they said it was absolutely too high for a cloud. Said it couldn't possibly have been a cloud, and yet it was a cloud. And yet it wasn't a cloud. And yet the tabernacle did have a cloud over it. So it came down as a ring of cloud. It's such a strange phenomenon, Brother Taylor, that it's in the yearbook. I know that it's in there. I checked the yearbook to see if it was in there. They got it wrote in the yearbook, the strange phenomenon of Tucson, Arizona. Scientists, the brilliant men of today, astounded. Why? By a man named William Branham. Right there. Who was it astounded them? William Branham didn't astound nobody. It was God. It was God. Elijah never astounded anybody. It was the great God. This God of heaven used a man called Brother Branham. He went up on Sunset Mountain. He said his ministry was finished. There come a beautiful crown down out of heaven. His symbol had seven angels. Seven angels forming a cloud came right down over the top of the mountain, just like it did over Moses when he come down on Mount Sinai. Over there in the natural, it's recorded in history today. Read it in your school book. Scientists can't explain it. Over there on Mount Sinai came down the great cloud on the day. Over there in Mount Sinai, right over here, there came down a cloud and stood over this mountain, and the fire of God came down. If he said even as much as a hair gets close to it, it'll be killed. That actually happened in the natural. Over here, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he raised up Moses again over here, put Moses on the mountain, and what happened? The cloud came down. Is that right? It's down in history again to show he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. They still can't explain it. Here it is over here, the cloud come down. I believe, as much as I believe I'm standing here, that that cloud was the crown to the bride. I believe that was the bride's crown as it came down right there. Angels symbolize stars. Stars symbolize angels. Angels have crowns. Stars are in crowns, I meant to say. So here come the crown. Brother Branham said the vision showed this. He said the bride hath made herself ready. And there the crown come down for the bride. She had made herself ready right there. The angels of the Lord came down. And if Brother Branham didn't tell the truth about it, Brother Ben, he's the one that lied because he said it. Said the angel of the Lord picked him up, turned him around eastward. What did it mean? It meant one thing, folks. It meant the days of the Gentiles was at an end. God said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Brother Ben Gahele, that's exactly why they've gone off into a state of apostasy right now. That's why they're dancing over the golden calf. They broke the law that Brother William Branham gave them, just like they did Moses. And today they're out there shouting and dancing by the tune of an organ. You say, "I don't believe that, Brother Pike." I know it's true. I went right over yonder to the Carolinas, stayed in a home over there, and I looked at this lady, and I said, "Lady," I said, "when you go over there to play your organ, for your husband in your big camp meeting or whatever it is, your big meeting, I said, you get into rock and roll spirit. She wouldn't have it. I said, you know it's true. She broke down and started to cry. She said, Brother Pike, said, that's the truth, so help me God. So I went to my husband and told him, and I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I quit it. Said, he won't let me quit it. What is it? They were shouting, Brother Gene, over the golden calf. They hadn't kept the law. Them people that's doing all that shouting, they're not keeping the Word of God. I watched some of them right here in Olive Branch. I've seen them shout till they shout their hair down and go home and live like the devil. I've seen them chew their cud and smoke their cigarettes and curse and do everything else and still shout. Right here in Olive Branch. Breaking the laws of God. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And my commandments are not grievous. I've commanded you to love one another. So then on the mountain, the great strange phenomenon of God took place. Here it went down in history. Still a historical event there today. A great outstanding thing. Right here, not too far away, there's a place called Catalina Mountain. We've lived almost right at the foot of it. Not too far from there, there's a place called Sabina Canyon. Brother Ernie, when we went out in Tucson, Arizona, we came out there, we told the people here that we'd leave this place by revelation according to what we understood. We were going out to Tucson, Arizona. Brother Gonzalez, we had no plans to come to Mexico. God had hid it from me about going to Mexico. I had no intentions of going to Mexico. I followed my route right down to a T, was on my way, and wound up on my way to Mexico. Is that right, Brother Tom? Cynthia, some of the others got disturbed about it because they'd already had a dream that we were to get killed in old Mexico, that they'd seen us in a car crash, all of us getting killed. We may get killed down there. You can't ever tell. It could have been God. I've been down there maybe several times since then. But I told Tom, I said, Tom, I can't let that stop me. I said, even if I get killed, I said, you know that you also was seen in a car turning over. Tom was. I said, but that can't stop me. I said, I've got to go for God. I said, if this is my death, I've got to go. There ain't nothing I can do about it. I just have to go. Well, Brother Tom said, I don't know if he swallowed a little hard or not, but he stuck with me. He said, if that's the way it's got to be, that's the way it's got to be. And I know that he wasn't kidding because he knew I was serious about it. He said, if that's the way it's got to be, Brother Pike, said, that's the way it's got to be. And I thank God for him because that put him to the test. When I looked over at him, I imagine he'd done just about like that because it was real. It was genuine. It was a time to be serious, wasn't it, Brother Tom? So then we wound up down there, but we also went out into Tucson, Arizona. God took care of us. Wound up out in Tucson, Arizona. We got out there. Brother Ernie, remember how we went up in Sabina Canyon? How little Ernie with the red shirt on led us around that mountain trail to the highest place up there, remember? Him and little David was with us. Tom was about 3 days in a fast when he climbed the mountain. I was worried about him because it was hot, and he still stayed right with me. Climbed the mountain up there to a rock on the side of the mountain. It was way up yonder. It was so high up that I looked down in the valley and saw some boys playing on the rocks, and I called Ernie's attention to it, and some of them like not seen it. They were so far up, and the figures were so small down in the valley, they like not seen it. And here we was way up on the side of the mountain, and I noticed coming up behind us three men without their shirt. It was a trinity coming up the side of that mountain, and they tried their best to catch up with us. But little Ernie knew the trail, and every time they'd get pretty close to us, he'd take a shortcut, and we'd wind up here above them. They'd get pretty close and huffing and puffing, and Ernie'd take a shortcut, we'd be back up there above them. And finally, we got up here to the highest place on the mountain, and then it started going down like that. And when he got up there, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I said, this is as far as I feel that we're to go. Got up there, and we sat down on a rock under a little old tree that was coming out from the mountain. One little old shade was all we found. When that trinity got up there, we offered to let them have part of our shade. But they were kind of haughty, you know. They got there, and they didn't want to take our shade. They just stopped to catch their breath and went on. And finally, we saw them going down the trail. I believe Ernie said, there's a drop-off out there somewhere. I don't know where you got anything out of it or not, but God taught with me all the way up there. So then we went out there in Sabina Canyon. Was the same place where Brother Branham saw the dove and saw the angel. Not the angel, the dove and the eagle. Now I had a strange thing to happen. The Lord brings it back to my mind. Brother Ben was over at the house this evening, and I laid down on the sofa, and I was real tired. And as I laid down, I got a white eagle over the mantle. Most of you seen it. It's cracked all up. And over here is a picture that was taken of me in the East that Brother Bob Pickles took up there in East over in Charlotte. And it's the picture that they use on our literature. Well, I was laying there on the sofa, and I turned over, and I just, you know, looked up on the wall just like I would any other time. And I just glanced up there, and I closed my eyes. I was kind of tired. And when I did, all of a sudden, the image in that picture jumped up before me, and I looked, and it had great big eagle wings. And I thought, my, what in the world is this? And I saw it just as plain as I'm looking at you. My image that was in that picture just come out before me, and the eagle wings had moved off of the eagle and moved on to me, and there I stood in that picture with my Bible just like this, and great big huge white eagle wings right there on my shoulders. I don't know how it happened. It was a strange phenomenon. I can't explain it. Brother Gene, you remember this evening when you were sitting right over here in the control room, and I was sitting back there, and while I was sitting back there in the control room, I looked out the window, the glass work right there, and I just happened to glance out just like anybody would, and there was Gene's face. He was sitting there, but it wasn't Gene's face. I looked, and there's a little pointed mustache-like running. God had fixed it to where it was just perfect, running off of it, and I looked, and there was the face of Jesus. Saw it just as plain, and then it began to change, and it changed into the face of Abraham, and it made connections back through history with those that paralleled with Jesus, and then faces that I didn't understand come up forward, and all of a sudden it changed back to Jesus. I don't understand it, but I know the Lord's working. You say, well, you're crazy. Well, maybe I am. If I am, I'm happy. Oh, said if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself from God. I'm having the biggest time you ever seen, so just leave me alone. So then here we are, right over here. Brother Branham, Moses, they did not keep the commandment. They did not. The Bible said, I'll take them in on the wings of an eagle. He gave them the wings of an eagle, and they flew into the wilderness. The church, when the man-child was born, said, he gave her the wings of an eagle. She went into the wilderness. Is that right? The wings of an eagle. He said that I'll take them out on the wings of an eagle. How many of you know this is the eagle message? How many remember where I had the vision? Where I had the vision and put the eagle feathers together? Said the brethren wasn't going to like it. And they haven't. They haven't liked it. A voice said to me, said, they ain't going to like it. And they didn't. But anyway, Brother Branham right here went down, right here. He went down. That was the end of Brother Branham right there. The sun goes down in the west. The church was left in the wilderness, right there. Brother Ernie Correll was born under our ministry as far as coming to God in Jesus' name. We led him to the William Branham message, as it was called, in this day. Brother Ernie never could get into the revelation. He never could. He tried. He'd done everything he could. But every time that he came to my house, I was tired. I was weary. I've had him to sit by the bed. And I'd want to talk revelation, and I'd be so weary I couldn't hold my head up. And I might have went to sleep. I don't know. But God absolutely wouldn't let Ernie have the revelation. Why? Is that right, Brother Ernie? Is that correct? He would not. Why did he do it? Because he had a work that he had to do. He fastened his heart to the message, the portion that Brother William Branham had, pulled him out into the desert out yonder and left him out in the desert, right out there. Brother Ernie was like a dead man. How many times did you go to church, Brother Ernie, while you was out there? Not one time. He was like a dead man, because that's what he was showing the William Branham ministry. See, Brother Ernie, little Brother Ernie grinning back there. Oh, then, it had to be that way. Is that right? It had to be that way. Brother Ernie got to where he wouldn't eat no pork. Sister Dorothy got kind of disturbed about it. But that was just exactly right. The Jews wouldn't eat no pork. God made him play his part well. When he come back over here with the Gentiles, he got back over here and he was eating swine meat over yonder, a ham, prayed over it, and all things sanctified by prayer. Brother Ernie ate just as much as I did. Said it was good, too. Praise the Lord. God knows how to do it. I don't know why he does those things, but he does. He's just wonderful. But anyway, he used Brother Ernie. And a lot of times we pray, Jesus, use me. And we think, Lord, you're not using me. But I want you to know he's using you every step of the way. If you don't believe it, come and sit down with me sometime when I feel all right, and I'll take your life and break it down and show you where he's used you ever since the day you asked him to use you. He'll use you. God will use you. Now, and he uses the wife, too. Sister Dorothy had to go with him. If she hadn't went with him, well, he couldn't very well have taken on his job right. He used her, too. All right, here, Brother William Branham went down right here. Left the church in the wilderness. How many of Moses' followers come out of the wilderness? How many of them come out, Brother Ben? Two of them. Who were they? Joshua and Caleb. Is that correct? Joshua and Caleb. And what did they do? They brought the children out. Is that right? Brought the children out. Somebody said, well, Brother Ernie came out. Brother Ernie went out there to show one thing. That was the resurrection. The resurrection of the dead. He showed them children that was raised up under the message. Brother Ernie wasn't raised up under Brother Branham. He was one of the children. Sure, he come up as one of the children. Is that right? So then they did not follow him. There was only two men that was raised up under the Branham ministry, as you would call it. That was Caleb and Joshua. Those were the only two men that came out of the wilderness. You believe that's true? There wasn't but two of them. The rest of them was people of the children of those that was raised up. So then we see they didn't keep the William Branham message. They didn't keep it. We call it the William Branham message. It's not William Branham message. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It came through Brother Branham. It came right on down. The pillar of fire that was with Brother Branham. How many of you believe that the angel died when Brother Branham died? Everybody that believes that angel in the wilderness died when Moses died, raise your hand. Everybody that believes that the angel that was with Brother Branham died when Brother Branham died, raise your hand. He said, I'll send my angel before you to lead you into the promised land. Said, don't grieve him. Is that right? Don't grieve him. Don't grieve him. Said, he'll go before you. Now then, we right here, Brother Branham went down, right here. We had to go out there at the right time and pick Brother Ernie up. Brother Ernie showed the church coming out of the wilderness all the way across here, had to cross Jordan, come across this wilderness, come across Jordan and come over into the eastern part, which symbolized the Canaan land. When Brother Ernie got across here, what did he say? He looked, he was so happy and his cup was running over. He said, Brother said, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Is that what you said, Brother Ernie? Said, this is like heaven to me. All right, it was. It showed heaven. He had to fulfill his part. So then he came over here. What was it? Right up here, you remember it's on tape here somewhere, where Brother Terrell set his tent up over here at the gateway of the west, where the big archway is, where the men out of the west used to come, the traders, and they used to exchange. It was the crossing point. Over at Missouri, they got a big archway. They call it the Gateway of the West because it carries a symbol of crossing Jordan and so on. Brother Terrell went into Illinois and set his tent up right there. The storm came and turned it inside out. Most of you know this. Turned it inside out. After it was turned inside out, he called for Brother Delmer Baldwin's tent. Brother Delmer Baldwin was raised up under our ministry. He called for Brother Baldwin's tent, a little green tent, three-pole tent. Brother Terrell set it up here. I went up there. I had to go up to Canada to preach for Brother Franklin Walden under his tent. I felt to go by the way of Illinois. I went by over here, and I'm telling you, I never seen so many mosquitoes in my life. Them mosquitoes looked to me like it's about ready to tote the people off. I don't look at folks' as legs, and I don't want you to get the wrong idea. But where I was sitting, the one that was playing the organ, her legs, you could see them very plainly, and it looked like somebody had used her legs to throw darts at. It looked like a pin cushion. She had been bit so many times with mosquitoes where the sores was. I ain't kidding. It was that many times. All over her legs. Well, it was such a place till I got under the tent and stayed a few minutes, and I went back out and got in the car to try to get away from the mosquitoes. But I talked to Brother Jack, who's working with Brother Delmer again right now, and the tent right now is again in Illinois right now. And if we had time, we'd go into it, and I'd tell you why it's in Illinois and where it's going to and why it's going there. I told some of the brethren. But anyway, they're going there for about a 3 weeks meeting. Is that right, Brother Gahele? About a 3 weeks meeting. I told Brother Ben, I said, according to what I understand, you'll have about a 3-day meeting. That's what it amounts to. Brother Ben said, you know what? Said Brother Baldwin told me that he felt like we might not be over there 2 or 3 days. Is that right? It was scheduled for 3 weeks. So then, according to what I understand, they'll have just about 3 nights of interest right there in the meeting. Brother Ben went down to see the view. How many days did you stay, Brother Ben? 3 days. That was to one group of people. He went over here to another group of people. There's 4 groups in this area. How many days did you stay, Brother Ben? 3 days. Now he's going up yonder to be with Brother Baldwin. And before he ever even knew anything about it, the Lord spoke to my heart. I knew it would be 3 days, according to what I understood. And Brother Baldwin's going to lead you. Watch and see. So then, what is it? The Lord's moving. Brother Baldwin's going over to Atlanta, Georgia. He's got a 3-day meeting scheduled. How many days do we schedule this meeting for right here? 3 days. Is that coincidental? There's something taking place. There's something taking place. Brother William Branham right here had to come out. His followers had to come out. But Brother Branham's followers will never come out. As far as following another message, Moses' followers died with him. Let me tell you this. When you come up with a generation, you die with those messengers. You will never answer to God for any other man's message over in the next generation. You will not. When a man's mind's made up, science says that you can't change it. God gives you a message. Your mind is made up according to that message. If a new message comes out, you cannot put new wine in old bottles. It'll bust the bottles. I tried my best to get some of the William Branham's followers to see this, and it busts the bottle every time you get them hold of one of them. You can't do nothing with it. So then God makes you answer according to your generation. The people that had little light, little will be required of them. The people that had more light from the minister of their hour, more will be required of them. They'll be judged according to that, Brother Beachy. So you see that Brother Ernie here was picked up to be brought out of the wilderness to show the children that was raised up of the children of Israel that Moses brought out of Egypt. 6 million people approximately, I'd say, and every last one of them grumbled and mumbled till God got tired of them and told Moses, said, get out of the way and I'll just kill the whole bunch of them. You believe God would do that? The Bible said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. You don't believe God will tear you into pieces? Go out and look on the highway. Brother Bobby Woodruff told me that right out there in California, a plane crashed and we went out with a basket and picked up the pieces and took it and put it in the casket. Yes, he will. Yeah, I tell you, you get him angry, he'll tear. When you get God angry, he'll tear the buildings down. And like Samson over there, Samson was a good man. They got him angry. He tied them foxes' tails together and burned down the whole countryside. You get God angry, and he'll throw thunderbolts across the heavens out yonder, and he'll send winds through here, and he'll sweep this place slap clean. Don't ever get him angry. He's a good, sweet, loving God, and the Bible said he's hard to stir up. But once you get him stirred up, you don't get him crying down so easy. He's a big fella, did you know that? Sir, the great God that made every blade of grass was dealing with a man right here, listening to a man. Listening to a man. Over here, Joshua stood right over there, and the Bible said never in the history of the world had God ever hearkened to a man's voice. Never. To control the sun and the moon like he did Joshua. Never before, never again did he ever listen to a man. To actually stop the sun in its orbit and let that sun stand still to where they wouldn't be no more day and night till he finished the battle. I wish you could understand what I'm saying. But right here, there had to be a move. God had to pick them up. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many of you believe there's a Joshua move that had to take these people into Canaan land? I want you to raise your hand if you believe it. There's absolutely got to be one. You say, who is it? I don't know who it is. I can't tell you. But there's got to be one to go into Canaan. I'm going to tell you how the Lord showed me that there had to be one. Not only by revelation, but when I was in Florida, I was tired and weary. You've heard me tell it. I was laying on my bed. And an angel of God appeared to me. He came into my room. He appeared to me. I saw him just like I see you. It was no make-believe, even though it was a vision. I know it was a vision. But I saw the angel, and when I saw him, it wasn't as no vision. He was just there. I saw the angel of God. He was clothed from here all the way down. He didn't look like some of our ladies. All the way down to his feet and down to his arms. He was clothed in a white garment, and he was a beautiful thing to look at. He was a man, he wasn't like me, wasn't all out of proportion like that man appeared to me this morning. But this was an angel of God. I knew he was an angel. When I saw the Lord Jesus Christ, I knew that was the Lord Jesus. When I saw that man this morning, I knew he was a man. But when I saw that angel, I knew he was an angel. There was a difference in every one of them. When I saw the angel of God, he came to me. In that room, the Lord Jesus come to me while it was in the dark. I don't have time to go through it tonight and explain the vision to you, but some of you have heard me tell it. He came in, he put a ring on this finger right here. He said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, but lo, I shall be with thee in the time of trouble and in the time of need. He's kept his word all the way, everywhere I've ever traveled. He's always reminded me, when I get in trouble, that voice will speak to me. Now then, what did he say? I shall never forsake thee. He said, be strong and be of a good courage, for I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. This is what the Lord told me. The angel that came in my room said, I'll not forsake thee. All right? Now then, I want to show you something right here. Brother Taylor, have you got your Bible over there? I want you to bring it over here for just a minute. Now, I believe with all of my heart. Now, the angel of God appeared unto me when he finished talking to me just like that, and he was gone out of the room. He just vanished, just in one flicker. The angel of the Lord talked to me. Betty, you remember when we were down in the valley, I was in the back room praying. I'd been fasting that day. Betty and them went off somewhere, and I was in the back room, and I was down on my face. I love to spend all day with God. Even now, if I could stand the pressure, I'd stay with him all the time, I guess, because I just love to stay with him. I just love to live with him, and I just love to get away and spend the whole day with God. That's why I come over here like I did, spent 30 hours over here just with the Lord, just to get away by myself. I was in this room praying. This was after that I had been in Florida, after I'd laid on my bed and seen the death of William Branham. I saw the death of William Branham. I was not asleep. I saw the caskets come up before me laying on the bed. The Lord told me that William Branham was going to die. He didn't tell me he was going to get killed, how it was going to happen. He was just going to die. After the wreck, he did die. So then I went to Brother J.T. Parnell, and I wish we had more time tonight. But I went to Brother J.T. Parnell. He was pastoring Brother Taylor there in Florida. He was raised up under the William Branham ministry. Brother J.T. Parnell always kind of felt like he was a successor of Brother Branham. I could tell the way he talked. Brother J.T. Parnell had a part in the William Branham ministry because Brother Branham one day looked at him and said, I know who you are. According to J.T.'s own words. J.T. looks almost just like Brother Branham. If we ever have him here, you'll see it. Talks almost just like him. He's almost the perfect image of Brother Branham. Looks almost just like him in every way, size and everything. When he preaches, it sounds just like him. But anyway, it was here in Florida that I saw the death of William Branham. I told Brother J.T. Parnell, I said, William Branham is going to die. I said, the Lord showed it to me. All right? It was at the same time that Brother Branham was preaching the marriage and divorce message I hear when so many people went out here to Jeffersonville, Indiana. Brother Branham went right on and got killed in a wreck. I told him, I said, his ministry will be over in the year 66, or right about 66. Is that right, Brother Ernie? At the very first of 66 or the last of 65, he was killed. I said, he'll come out of the desert, and his ministry will be finished. That was the same time I predicted your mother's death. I saw it all together. Brother Branham came out of the desert. His ministry was over. He had a wreck. I told Brother Delmer Baldwin, I said, Brother Delmer, I fasted. During the time that Brother Branham had the wreck, I fasted that God would let him live. But I told Brother Baldwin, I said, according to what I understand, Brother Branham's going to die. I said, his wife and daughter is going to live. I said, but he's going to die. Brother Baldwin said, no, I said, he's not going to die, Brother Delmer Baldwin. I said, well, I sure hope you're right, Brother Delmer. I didn't argue with him about it. I said, I sure hope I'm wrong about it. But I said, according to what I understand, he'll die just before Christmas Day. on Christmas Eve night. Just before it turned to the Christmas day, he died. I said the Lord will spare his wife for the children's sake. Later, I talked to Billy Paul, and they told me, said his brother Branham laid his hands on his wife, and he called her Mitty. And he said, Lord, spare Mitty for the children's sake. She lived, the daughter lived, just according to what I had understood and what I had seen. Brother Branham died. The Lord showed me in Florida that he was going to die. He died. The angel of the Lord appeared to me right after he showed me Brother Branham's death. Right after that. Right after Brother Branham died, or after I was shown the death, the angel of God came to me. Brother Branham said, Brother Ernie, the bride hath made herself ready. Is that right? You remember him saying that, Brother Taylor? He said, my ministry is finished, for the bride hath made herself ready. The crown came down over her head. The Lord came into my room and took my finger right there. He slipped a ring on my finger. He come in and he asked me this question. He picked up my hand. He was in the dark. I was in the dark. He said, where is the stone of thy birth? I said, I do not know. I was like a dead man. I said, I do not know. That's all I could say. He said, I shall get thee one. He laid my hand down. He went back out. He got a ring. He come in. He put it on this finger. He said, I shall never leave thee, nor forsake thee, but lo, I shall be with thee in the time of trouble and in the time of need. What did it mean? Brother Branham said, the bride had made herself ready. Brother Gonzalez, what did the Lord show you about the tabernacle? Said that we had the bride right here. Sister Pally, he showed her that we had the translation message, just like the man this morning that walked through the wall. Is that right, Sister Pally? All right. Now then, outside of these things, many other things have been seen concerning the tabernacle. Here, Brother Branham died. The angel of God appeared, put the ring on my finger because the bride had made herself ready and I was a member. I believe I'm a member of that bride. He wanted to show that she was ready. I believe that that was the same angel that appeared to Brother William Branham. Brother Branham said the angel that appeared to him looked like he weighed about 200 pounds and he was clean shaven. This man that appeared to me, he was clean, his face was clean, he was a man with kind of an auburn hair, he was a man that was normal complexion, and this man looked like he weighed about 200 pounds. He was a tall man, he could have weighed more because of his height. But anyway, I believe it was the same angel. Whether it was or not, I don't know. It could have been the same angel that appeared to Joshua when Joshua was going to run through with the sword. But anyway, at any rate, the angel appeared to me, and there the ring was placed on my finger. Now, if you'll concentrate for just a few minutes, I want to throw in a few additives, and then we'll go on. Brother J.T. Parnell said, Brother Pike, I had a vision of William Branham. Said, in this vision, said Brother Branham had a golden rod in his hand. But said he lost the golden rod. This is what Brother Parnell told me. Said he lost the golden rod. Said, I went and picked up the golden rod, took the golden rod, I say golden rod, the rod or whatever it was, I placed it back into Brother Branham's hand. He had a rod to control things. The Bible said the man-child will rule with a rod of iron. So he had a rod in his hand. Brother J.T. Parnell said, in this vision, said there was lightnings and there was thunderings when I picked this rod up and placed it in his hands. He said, Brother Pike, he said, later on after the vision, said Brother Branham got melancholy or something, said he just got to where he felt like God had left him. He wasn't doing nothing at all. Did you know that out in Tucson, Arizona, they made him sit on the bench while the local pastor preached? Got to where it looked like he just wasn't doing nothing at all. One night in the tabernacle, J.T. said, I was sitting out there. Said, all of a sudden, said, a man dropped dead in the tabernacle. A man from Canada. I wish I had time to tie all this together. A man from Canada dropped dead in the tabernacle. He said, Brother Branham went down there. There was a nurse there, pronounced the man dead. Speaks of the great cloud of witnesses being the people. When Brother Ernie and his family, which was the little cloud out of the west coming here, walked right out there, looked right over behind them, and you could see the rain coming right behind them. Soon as he got here, we started a three-day meeting for the rain to come down right here. Right here. Give us the rain. But anyway, I'm trying to show you something here. This man that Brother Branham raised from the dead was the only man that befriended me when I went to Tucson, Arizona. The only man. There wasn't anybody else received me in that area. He received me and he loaned us cooking utensils. And he and his wife had a little song they sang, and the song was Come and Dine. We have the table spread, come and dine. They never sat down to the table, but what we all wouldn't get around it, and it sang, the table spread, come and dine. It was an unusual thing, but I'd done what they wanted to do. He loaned us some cooking utensils. It was right out there in Tucson, Arizona, where I had the vision. I got up that night. I had had a vision, and in the vision, I had a pen in my hand. Now notice, Brother Branham raised this man from the dead. This is where J.T. gave the rod back to him. This was the man that I found favor with. I went out there in Tucson. I met J.T. down yonder in down in Florida down there, and I had the vision about the rod. I went out to Tucson, Arizona. There I was. I had the man's cooking utensils. He had loaned them to us. I had a vision, and in a vision I was a watchman in the night. I was walking along in the night with a pen in my hand. And all of a sudden I looked at that steward, and all that steward was a blaze of fire just leaping out. And the Lord was telling me to teach the people. That was the essence of it. And I said, well, they won't pay any attention to me. And he told me I was a watchman in the night. And he told me to do a certain thing. And after he told me to do it, he said, now they'll recognize your authority. I walked over. I thought somewhere along there was at a little 7-Eleven stand or something like that. And the people kept going into the cash drawer. Couldn't keep them out. So I put up a chain like that. And I locked my wife and my mother, one or two of us, on the inside where the food was. I put up a chain and I locked the others out as chains of darkness. They were out in the dark. And I said, it's closing time. And I'm going to tell you something, it's getting close to closing time. Brother Ernie, did the Lord give you two visions before you come? And in both of them, you got here too late. Is that right? Got here too late. So the message is over when he got here. Now, it's getting close. God was stirring Brother Ernie up, I believe, with all my heart to get him in because he was using it. I hung the chain up and I said, that's it. We're closing. And that's all of it. That vision showed this man from Canada because it showed this message going toward Canada, Brother Walden. The walls being built back and so forth, it connected it all together. Now, if I had time to show you a little more, I could show you. Let me say this much. Let me try to get this much in. Will this be all right? Here's another part that connects with it. Maybe I'll let you fit it together. I'll fit it together for some of the brethren. The first time that I ever saw Brother William Branham was over here in Tennessee. Now, I know this is way out of the setting, and you can fit it together. Tom, you know what I'm talking about because we fit it together in talking. The first time I ever saw Brother Branham was over here in Tennessee. I had been praying in my room. Now, don't get confused. You can fit this together later. Just listen to what I'm saying. I was in Macon, Georgia. I was praying in my room upstairs. And all of a sudden, the light come over my head. And I knew there was a light. I couldn't sit, look up like that and see it. But I knew there was a light. I could see it. I knew it was around me. I went right on to the William Branham meeting. Now, I want to see if you get some revelation out of this. I had a red plaid shirt on. I got past the police. I went down into the lower part of the building. Brother Branham was down there. There was people down there in the lower part of this building. Down here, there was cripples. There was cases of wheelchairs. There were stretcher cases that they didn't have out in the building. Had them down in the lower part of the building. I went down into the lower part of the building. Billy Paul was the one that helped me get in past the police. I got down there and Billy said, Brother Pike, stand right over here. Said, when Dad gets through praying for the sick, said, we're coming out this way right here. All right, I stood over here in the dark. I want to see if you can get anything out of this. I stood right over here in the dark, down in the lower story, right over here in the dark. I hope you can get something out of this. I still got that picture in this little book of life out here. There was a picture taken at the time that I stood in the dark. Brother Sonny Garrett stood there and took the picture. Right here in the dark, Brother Branham did not know there was anybody down there watching him when he prayed for those people. Now, how many of you remember about the souls in prison? Right here in the lower part, I heard Brother Branham say something that shocked me. I looked over there and Brother William Branham looked at those people and said, I can't do nothing for you. Said, if I could, I would. But I said, I can't do nothing for you. It literally shocked me. It shocked me. But I stood in the dark, Brother Ernie. All he did was pray a simple prayer. He didn't know anybody was down there. He turned right around and started out. When he did, he walked over in the dark. I was in a dining room. It was full of tables. You understand what I mean? He walked right over there in the dark. When he walked right over into the dark, there I stood face to face with him. Me and Sonny Garrett and Billy Paul and Brother Branham was standing right there. The picture was taken by Sonny Garrett. And then I walked over, spoke to Brother Branham and shook hands with him. And I don't know if any of you remember the vision where I caught Brother Branham on the back porch or not. I don't know if you remember that or not. But in the vision, he wasn't pleased with it. I could tell he wasn't pleased with anybody being down there. But anyway, he was pleasant to me. I shook hands with him right there in the dark. Remember when that angel came to me with that ring? I was laying down. I was in the dark. Immediately after I shook hands with Brother Branham, I went upstairs. Brother Branham come upstairs and he came to the second floor. I went past Brother Branham and went upstairs and I went to the third floor. And I sat middle ways of the third balcony, or the balcony that was there. Right there, middle ways with a red plaid shirt on. Brother Branham came out. That's when I prayed, touched God by faith, and he turned and called me out and spoke to me in the name of the Lord and told me those things. Now, Brother Branham absolutely was not in the third dimension. He was in the second. Right there. Right there is where he was. Brother Branham, it is his death, dropped something. The angel that came into my room dropped something. Immediately was light. I went out of the darkness and I went into the light. Now, Brother Taylor, turn over here if you will just for a minute. I'm just taking time here to show you something. I want you to see something. The angel of the Lord came to me. Then I went over to Alabama. I was in the valley over there at a house where a little girl got healed under our tent of sinus. We was there at her house. I was praying and seeking the Lord. Turn to the first part of Joshua. I was there praying and seeking the Lord on my face. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God gripped me like that, spoke to me, and it shook me. And he quickened something to me. When I first started my ministry, the Lord spoke to me. And this is what he said right after I first started my ministry. He said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. Be of a good courage. Don't be afraid wherever you set your foot. I'll give it to you. He said, no man shall be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. I can truthfully say that I've never met a man from coast to coast anywhere. Never. Sinner, saint, professor, intellectual, nobody that's ever stood before this revelation. Never. Nobody. Everyone, big evangelist, little evangelist, had to take a bow and say it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Later, not thinking too much about what the Lord had said about being with me as he was with Moses. I never thought too much about it. But when I was down in the valley, the Lord spoke to my heart. And there I lay down on the floor praying, and he spoke to me again, said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. And he began to speak the same passage of Scripture to me again. In this passage of Scripture, I asked Brother Taylor to turn to it. I want you to listen to it here just for a minute now. Won't take but just a minute. We'll read just a verse or two. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Then he goes on to explain where it said. In the fifth verse he said, Thou shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. When the angel put the ring on my finger, he said, I will not forsake thee. I will not forsake thee. This is what he spoke to me in the valley. He spoke to me and said this again to me in the valley. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now, I keep a little piece in my pocket. It's in my pocketbook. I run across it. It's a little old card, like I run across it. I don't know why I stuck it in my pocket. But it said, I will keep thee in all of thy ways, wheresoever thou goest. And I have it in my pocket now. All right, when Brother Branham died, and I'm going to close in just a few minutes. We can't nothing like get into the other part. But when Brother Branham died right here, he went out. Then Brother Ernie was picked up right here to show that ministry continuing on. I'm going to say this. If Brother Branham was called to take us into our inheritance, then where is our inheritance? Brother Branham is dead. God said to Joshua, he said, Moses is dead. And I say to you that William Branham is dead. He's dead. But the angel of the Lord is not dead. He's not dead. And so then, right here, Brother Branham died. Right here, when that tent went down, and I predicted it would come here, the next one, and how that Brother Terrell would come here, and how Little Olive Branch would be published and become popular around the nation, how the New Olive Branch would come in out here, 90 new industries, how that they changed to a dove leaf over here and the symbol of the dove, right here, the Olive Branch. How that the Bible said in that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful. Sent Elijah over there and said, I'll call forth my servant the branch. Is that right? Is that Bible? All right. God works in types and shadows. I said that all that we need is an earthquake. I said, that's all we need to confirm the vision. An earthquake hit right up there, right where the tents was, where they took one tent down and put the other tent up, showing the separation, the change of the message. You can check it out. It hit right there at the gateway of the West. It went up to Chicago, right up toward the train center up there that symbolizes death splitting wide open. It come right down the Mississippi River, showing the dividing of the waters for the crossing over of the church. They checked it. They said that the earthquake, the effects of it was felt in 22 states. Our ministry has gone into 22 states. You say, well, that's coincidental. Maybe it is. I don't know. It's not for me to say. But even Olive Branch felt the impact of the earthquake. So then, right here, Brother Ernie Correll, come over right here. Now then, we are supposed to go, according to what I understand, up to Hendersonville, North Carolina. The eagles make their nest among the rocks, and you know that the Indians up here are a type of the eagles. If you've ever been up there, they've got a man up there. He's called Chief George. He's a friend of mine. I've been up there and I've watched them, feathers on the arms, feathers on the legs, feathers on the feet. And up here, it's called the land of the eagles in types and shadows. This is the symbol. Right in here, Hendersonville, the city of four seasons. There's a lot of revelation in here concerning Chimney Rock, Bat Cave, and Asheville, and all these other things. Right here in Asheville is where I was taken up on a high mountain and offered a lot of things, right here in Asheville, North Carolina. Right here in Hendersonville is where I went down through the deep gulch and saw that God let me know about the cross, the crucifixion experience, and right there they found, I believe, was three men dead on the mountain right there where we went down. Brother Bobby Woodruff told me about it right there where we were at. Now, we could go into a lot of things tonight and show you, but I just want to bring it over to the Hendersonville meeting, because over to the Hendersonville meeting, according to what I understand, Lee Bell, the chief speaker, you have a great monument, you have a great masterpiece, you keep it till the time of the unveiling. Lee Bell was the intellectual Bell that was over the William Branham message that helped to write those books, and right there, that Bell is to be taken away right there, showing that it's time for the man-child to come in. And I can't tonight, I can't take the time to explain to you just what I wanted to about how long, according to what I understand, it'll be from that time to the rapture, and how long it'll be from that time to the tribulation and so forth, because we don't have enough time to go into that. Some of you done got plumb worn out, and I know exactly how you feel, because I've sat on the benches and I'm not upset with you about it. I appreciate you staying. I know that we get weary. When Paul was preaching, somebody said, well, if Paul was preaching, I wouldn't get like that. And yes, Paul had somebody to go to sleep on him, fell down, killed himself, and they had to go out there and put life back into him. So it wouldn't matter who was preaching, it'd be the same way. He was a man just like I'm a man. But I'm trying to show you something here, that there is a Joshua move in the earth. I don't know who Joshua is. I don't have no idea. All I know is one thing. I know there's a Joshua move in the earth that has to go through the earth. I've told you the truth. I've told you the things that I've seen. I've told you the things I've known. I've not made up anything. I've told you the truth. And I know there's a Joshua move that's going through the earth. And I know this one thing. I know the message of translation is here. I wanted to get into the deepness of it tonight in showing just exactly how God has translated us and brought us from death unto life, the crossing over of Jordan. I can prove it by the scriptures, but we didn't get started off right for tonight. God had His way in it. I don't know why He did it, because this was the great climax that I was looking for, was the other. But God had it to turn out this way. I don't know why, but nevertheless, if He's pleased, I'm pleased. Because this is the end of the three-day meeting, and everybody that feels to, I want you to go up to Hendersonville with us. If you don't feel to, that's perfectly all right. I don't expect it to be no great meeting up there. They need to go up there expecting a great meeting of some kind. I'm not expecting that. It's just a great event. It's a great mark of revelation. Usually the Lord reveals Himself in simplicity to hide it from the intellectuals. But something is about to happen. Something is already happening. Some of you just don't see it. You're not in it. But something is happening, folks. It's happening. It's happening. That's why I saw that man walk through the wall last night. That's why I saw him translate before my very eyes as I sat there and watched him. So then in the vision, the man placed the emphasis on the Word, said he'd read it 40 times. Placed the emphasis on the Word. Faith by hearing of the Word, Enoch was translated by faith. Let's everybody stand together. I appreciate Dad sitting through the services with us. He's determined that he wants to hear it. And there's one or two of you that I can kind of feel for you because you're old. And some of you I don't feel for at all, because I've had you in about 45-minute service or hour and a half, and you've done the same way that you do every time you come to service. I've heard Brother Taylor say that when he gets up to preach, the same people that I have trouble with, I mentioned some of them to him, and he said, Brother Pike, that must be God. Said the same thing happened to me when I get up there. So then, the mouth of two witnesses. Some of you need to, I don't say this in the way of scolding you, some of you just need to get more interested in heavenly things. You just don't have no godly interest. I can't make you have it. I'm not going to try to make you have it, because God didn't call me for that reason. He called me to feed those that are heavenly minded. Those that are heavenly minded, that's my job. And I want to do that. And the ones that are not interested, I hate, because you have to sit in the church and be miserable. Surely you must be a miserable creature. And if I was you, if I was like that, and I'm not telling you to stay away from church, I'm glad for you to come, maybe you'll get converted. But if I was you, if I didn't have no interest in, interest in heavenly things, I'd be so miserable I never would come to the house of God, because I just wouldn't sit through it and be miserable like that. Because you're miserable, you make yourself miserable, you make everybody else miserable. So if you're really going to stay into it, there's only one reasonable thing to do, and that's to become part of it. Do you think that's right? If you're not, the best thing to do is go out somewhere where you can go to a ball game or pitch a show or something to where you can sit for hours and enjoy it. Television show or something. Something that you have an interest in. Is that all right? All right, let's bow our heads together, Brother Correa.